This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. What is wrong with Carl Mittleman, the executive producer of this dang show?
Pew-pew.
Yes, because on the day that we're recording, it has snowed some.
And 2 days ago, it was 65 degrees.
Yeah, the weather is kind of manic right now. Welcome to the Midwest, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
If you don't like it, it'll change tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the bipolar vortex. This segment is brought to you by Second Amendment, is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And Razorback Armory right now has a thing going on with Sig Sauer. If you go in and you mention that you heard about it on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, you're going to get, when you buy a new firearm from Sig, they are going to have some memorabilia for you, some good stuff. And then everybody's into the drawing for like 500 rounds of all these different ammunitions at the end of the month. So you know who's going to be in that drawing. That's going to be me.
No, yeah, check probably that, winning.
Check it out at RazorbackArmory.com. They're into pair. Tell them Bo sent you in. So I'm still like floating about 2 feet off the ground since the big speech the other night. Because I'll tell you what, Mark, it just felt so different. It's felt so different in the last 40-some days because a president's actually talking to the public. Even if you disagree with him,
it felt so different for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think there was sort of a new confidence there. The greatest political comeback in American history, without question. And Donald Trump knows that he's got the goat of all of those people on the Democratic Party side who refused to even get out of their seats when you had hostages who'd been returned to the country being recognized, and female athletes who'd been damaged in a sporting event by a male athlete who shouldn't have been there, and little boys suffering from cancer who you're recognizing and giving a temporary Secret Service ID to. Did you see that little boy hug the Secret Service director?
Absolutely. I mean, it was, little DJ Daniel.
It was heart-wrenching to watch that, and the entire time the Democrats sat on their hands and refused to clap. What is going on in this country?
You know what? It's just an image that the world all sees, and hopefully Americans that watched or maybe saw clips of it understand where we're at in this country with the division. I mean, if you can't stand up for DJ Daniel of Houston, the little boy that wants to be a police officer, and this show and the people on this show all support law enforcement as well as this government, at least this administration. If you can't stand up for a little boy that's been fighting, he's gone through like 13 different brain surgeries. There's something wrong with you. I mean, come on. There's supposed to be some bipartisan work here going on. And they can't even come together on these great American stories. It just sickened me.
There's nothing, Bo. I think with the exception of Marco Rubio, every cabinet member got voted against by just about every Democrat. One of them. I mean, it wasn't that way during Biden's administration. I mean, there were Republicans that voted against Biden's people, but there certainly it wasn't all 47 of them every time, for sure. And I think that's just unfortunate. You know, one thing that's notable in its absence from the, call it the sort of faux State of the Union. They don't call it the State of the Union. It's the address to the joint session of Congress. One thing that was notable in its absence was Donald Trump did not need to get up and talk about the guns or the Second Amendment or how he was going to restrict people's rights, because all of that is secure now, at least for the next 4 years. And we didn't have to worry about that. He did, however, talk about protecting members of law enforcement. And I have called for this idea for as long as I can remember. Listen.
We're going to get these cold-blooded killers and repeat offenders off our streets, and we're going to do it fast. Got to stop it. They get out with 28 arrests. They push people into subway trains. They hit people over the head, back of the head with baseball bats. We got to get them out of here. I've already signed an executive order requiring a mandatory death penalty for anyone who murders a police officer. And tonight I'm asking Congress to pass that policy into permanent law.
Wow. Yes.
I truly wish that they would go back in the history, let's say, whatever, 5 years, 10 years, people that are maybe even incarcerated that did kill a police officer, that they get brought to the front of the line for the death penalty. I don't know. Can they get that done on a federal level? Because, you know, some states have capital punishment, some don't, you know?
Well, I mean, the federal death penalty would be separate from an individual state. They'd have to be under federal charges in order to get that, obviously, right? So the federal law would overrule if somebody was arrested by the feds for murdering a police officer. And sometimes okay. They do that. They'll allow the feds to make the charge just because the penalty tends to be more severe.
But I
would agree with you. I really hope it's something that they take seriously. The Democrats will probably block that, too, because they care more about criminals than they do law enforcement officers in too many cases.
Yeah, and there were a lot of opportunities that came out, and within, like, minutes, if not hours, that people were making memes of, you know, the Democrats sitting on their butt holding the signs up, the lady from Hawaii had a sign that said "I farted," and it was hilarious. Yeah, that's the one. But how about this? Elon's stunt double was in the audience. Did you see it? Because he had it was a guy that looked like Elon with a suit on. I've never seen him with a suit on.
Oh,
funny. You're funny. I get it now. Yeah. He's like Zelensky. Doesn't normally wear a suit, huh?
No, but. Just impressive. And how can anybody in this country be against what he is doing? It's amazing the money the guy's finding. It just baffles me.
Speaking of Zelensky, that whole situation, Bo, I'm sure you probably watched it a week ago in the Oval Office when it unfolded.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, right. In the first thing that came to my mind was the guy does not know who he's dealing with, Zelensky. And what did Trump do? He canceled the meeting. He left town. And it was just a matter of a couple of days. He canceled all U.S. support for what's going on in Ukraine. And exactly 24 hours after that, Zelensky called him up and said, "I want to sign that deal."
Right. I think he wrote a letter. Or
why
whatever.
He ever thought he could get away with that stunt, I don't know. But I think Donald Trump now knows who he's dealing with. Somebody who maybe doesn't want as quick an end to the hostilities as he lets on, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
it really is.
It truly is. That's the difference between having grandpa in the house and dad in the house. I think Trump is a different man. Plus, he doesn't have the bureaucracy that, you know, surrounding him, helping him, you know, well, or making his decisions for him.
This week, I had a great interview on my show, if I can toot my own horn. I had Pastor Michael Schust on. He is with the Vertical Fellowship. He used to live in St. Louis for a long time. He is originally from Czechoslovakia. When he was a young man, the Soviets, the communists controlled Czechoslovakia, and he witnessed firsthand and was even was in jail briefly, I believe, over there for his political views, and he's scared about what he sees going on in the Ukraine, and it's not a direct parallel because they are a democracy in most descriptions of that word. But he did come on my show and talk about the fact that he's got connections all over Europe. He goes over there he travels as a pastor, and he's got a lot of connections in churches. And he came on my show, and you can go back and find it on the podcast. He came on my show on Tuesday, and he talked about the fact that Christians are being persecuted in the Ukraine. Members of the Orthodox Church who Zelensky has labeled as being somehow connected to Putin for some reason. Maybe it's the Russian Orthodox Church. I don't know. But Christians who are having churches shut down and being persecuted over there. And these are stories that haven't hit the mainstream media. And I'm not saying you should like or dislike Zelensky as a result of that, but you just need to know who you're dealing with. It's not a fly the colors, rah, rah, rah kind of war. They're involved in what has been a decades-long civil war in the northern part of that country that nobody ever talks about. This didn't all just come out of the blue. And I think the war needs to end. Putin should never have invaded. He had no right to do that. But to act like nobody knew what was going on over there, there are a lot of misinformation into the media. They misinform by not including it in their stories. They never talk about these things. They just talk about this all like this all just happened out of nowhere 3 years ago. And that's simply not the case.
Yeah, they're omitting these headlines that people need to know. What's really confusing, I will say this, about, you know, social media is you don't know what to believe. I heard that the mineral rights were taken actually by a European country back in January. So UK, really, there's no negotiation there. And they're under martial law in Ukraine, so they can't have a presidential.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Full election. So if they lift martial law, that they could have the election and Zelensky probably would be booted. Is that how you understand it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going to go on there. It's very sad. Back here at home, we got some good stuff on the show for you today. Are you a deer hunter? Are you anxious because it's going to be so many months before you can get back in the field? There are still things you can do to try to improve your odds for next fall. And we're going to talk to our friend Brian Grossman from the National Deer Association coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. That is Mark Cox. And those are the youpers looking for the turkey pointer. Every deer hunter knows that song. It's an anthem for them, maybe. And you might be going, well, Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, what are you talking about deer hunting this time of the year? Well, I come across this article from the Deer Association written by Brian Grossman, and I thought, you know what? People need to quit just wandering around the Bass Pro Shop and, you know, bothering people. You need to get out in the field and do some stuff. Brian, welcome to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Let's talk about how to beat cabin fever for deer hunters.
All right, that sounds great, man. I appreciate you guys reading the article and having me on here to talk about it.
Yeah, where'd you come up with the idea to do this article?
Well, I think, you know, I'm like a lot of deer hunters this time of year. It gets I get a little depressed. You know, deer season's over and turkey season's still a little ways off. And I'm more of a fair weather fisherman, so I don't do a lot of fishing this time of year. So, you know, I have to look for other ways to get out of the house and kind of, you know, beat cabin fever. So that was kind of the idea behind the article.
I love that. I think otherwise, I think Bo booked this for my benefit, to be honest with you, Brian, because he knows that I struggled during deer season. And I did get a deer this past season. It was a very small buck. I thought it was a doe from from 80 yards out, and when I killed it, it had a couple little spikes sticking on the top of its head.
Still counts.
It still counts. I know. It was a pretty good sized deer. But, you know, my brother-in-law, I hunt on his property, and he and I have, every year we talk about, you know, feed plots or something, food plots, something we could put in to draw more deer to the property, just to get them used to, just to get them used to coming here and there. And it seems like every year we do a little bit, but we don't never do enough.
there's always something to be done when it comes to deer hunting and deer management. That's for sure. Yeah. It's 24/7.
Brian, where are you based out of, so we get an idea? Where are you from?
I am about an hour south of Atlanta in Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay. Go ahead with your plan for us.
I kind of broke this into the article into two sections, kind of a, you know, four things you can be doing habitat wise as far as if you have a hunting property you want to manage. And then, you know, if not, there was four things on there just kind of more related to hunting in general, because, you know, not everybody has a hunting property. Not everybody owns a hunting property or maybe has property that they can do management on. But on the habitat side of things, this is a great time of year if you are interested in food plots or planting food plots, like you said, and get out there and take some soil samples and then use the results of those soil samples to amend your soils accordingly, because I always feel like I'm beating a dead horse when I talk about this, because every food plot article ever written, you know, starts out with this same bit of advice: take a soil sample. But man, it still gets skipped a lot, and I've been guilty of it myself. I've skipped it and just went in and hurried up and planted a plot. But man, it's so simple. It doesn't take long. It's very inexpensive, and it's the only way you'll really have an idea of what your soil needs to get the most out of that food plot.
So some people might be intimidated from the standpoint that who do they take the soil sample to? Who's gonna evaluate that for you? Does the Department of Conservation do that? Are there private companies that do it?
There's, as far as I know, I think every state, but pretty much every state has like county extension offices.
Yes.
They're an extension of usually a state university. But you go to your county extension office, they'll have soil sample bags that they can give you. I don't believe, or at least the ones here, don't charge you anything for the bag itself. You take those home, you know, go out to your plot. You'll want to get samples from a couple different areas in your food plot, because, you know, you may have low spots and high spots. And so your soil may vary a little bit across your food plot, depending on how big it is. So you'll take a few samples from around the plot. You know, just mix that dirt in a bucket, let it dry out, and then put it in the bag, fill it up to the line. You know, it tells you how much to put in the bag of good, clean soil. Excuse me. And, you know, just fill out the information on the bag and send it in. It'll ask you on the bag, you know, what you plan on planting in that food plot, and they'll tailor those recommendations that they send you back based exactly on what you're planning on planting. You'll know exactly, you know, what how much and what type of fertilizer to add, whether or not you need lime to change the pH of your soil, and all that information will be right there for you to take advantage of. You know, otherwise, you may be throwing away money if you're just going out there and spreading, you know, 200 pounds of 10-10-10 per acre,
yeah,
without actually taking that soil test and figuring out exactly what you need.
You got to build that success up somehow, right? I mean, is there maybe this varies from region to region. What's your favorite plant for a food crop for deer?
You know, it's really hard to be. People, I think, tend to make this more complicated than it really needs to be. You know, they want a fancy mix or maybe something that nobody else is planting. But it's hard to beat just a cereal grain like wheat or cereal rye mixed with clover. It's really simple, but it's a good mix. It's easy to establish. It lasts a good bit of the year between the wheat and clover. Depending on what type of clover you use, it can last multiple years if you're using a perennial clover.
Sure.
So it's hard to beat in my mind, just a wheat clover mix. But there's certainly other options out there, depending on when you're wanting that food plot available to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, so moving on to the next segment of your article was about trees and getting rid of them, kill some of them, cut them down. I mean, here in the Midwest, we need firewood anyway, so I'm sure there's a selection process that we can do in area of the country. Tell us why people should be clearing out some of those dead trees and getting rid of some of the others.
Yeah, this is something, you know, as hunters, deer hunters, we tend to focus on those open areas because we want to plant something. You know, we want to plant a food plot, or maybe we want to plant some fruit trees, that kind of thing. But for a lot of deer hunters, the majority of their hunting property is woods. And if they're not managing those woods as well, then, you know, you're leaving a lot of the property, I guess, less desirable for deer, because there's a lot of properties out there that are just big, mature, you know, maybe oaks and hickories or a mix of hardwoods. And that's great when the acorns are falling, but the rest of the year, that's providing very little benefit for deer. So you really need to manage those woodlands. And a good way to do that is to get out there and remove some of those less desirable trees so you can get sunlight to the ground, and that'll start stimulating that understory growth. Then you have additional food sources there that are available year-round for the most part. And you're also going to provide cover as well, which will make those deer more comfortable moving through that area during daylight hours. Now, as far as, you know, which trees to go in and cut and kill, that's something you really need to consult with a forester about, especially if you're looking at that property to produce future timber revenue for you. That's a different ball game. You don't want to just go in there and start cutting and killing good hardwood trees if you're planning on, you know, that property providing revenue in the future. You'll definitely want to get a forester involved. If you're like me, I just own a small property here, 15 acres. I have no expectations of generating future timber revenue. So I can just go in and focus on, I'm leaving some good oak trees here and there because, you know, to provide those acorns when the time is right. But I'm cutting and killing a lot of trees as well, again, so I can get that understory growth and just provide security and year-round food source for the deer.
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, that's over and above, obviously, clearing shooting lanes and things like that for your stands. And I mean, it's just the property management aspect of it is probably a little overwhelming for some people. Everybody wants to have the ideal situation, but very few people do, right?
Yeah, it is. It is overwhelming. I mean, like I said, I just have a small property here, and it's really opened my eyes. I've only owned it for a few years now, but it's opened my eyes about how much work it is, and how, you know, even on a small property, it takes time. It kind of goes back to the, you know, how to eat an elephant. You just gotta take one bite at a time. So, you know, just pick a small area and try to, you know, impact what you can every year. It might just be an acre block that you work on each year, and over time, you know, you're going to improve a larger portion of your property. So
yeah, that's a category, Brian, for a company that is part of our community. It's a Missouri Brush Control. They actually go out with forestry mulching machines on big properties and cut shooting lanes and hiking trails and things like that. And can anybody disagree with me on just being out there and doing stuff? Grab your chainsaw and a soda pop and go out there and just spend time with God in the woods, in the things that he created. Just get out there and do that. You know, let's jump ahead to hunting equipment maintenance, because we are going long, but we appreciate your time. Of course, we get in our shops and we, you know, go through and clean in our equipment and stuff like that. And then, of course, you know, the security at Bass Pro likes to run Mark out every once in a while because he's just spent so much time there. Let's talk about the hunting equipment maintenance stuff that you talked about in the article.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys are probably like me. In the past, I've been very guilty of, you know, once deer season ends, I throw all my gear in a tote, and then I don't open that tote back again until, you know, 2 weeks before season, when I'm all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shoot, you know, season's here. And,
That's right.
I got to figure out where everything is, what I may have needed to replace or what I damaged, you know, all that kind of thing. So, man, this is a great time of year. If it's cold out and you're stuck indoors, or it's a rainy weekend, or whatever the case may be, man, break out that hunting gear while deer season is still on your mind, this past deer season still fresh in your mind. You know, you can kind of remember maybe what issues you had with your equipment and address those now. You know, just go through everything, make sure everything's in good order, especially when it comes to if you're a bow hunter like I am. You know, now's a good time if you need a new strings or cables on the bow, or you need to replace a sight or whatever the case may be. You
That's
know,
right.
This is the time to do it, where you have plenty of time to practice and work with it, and you're not one of those, you know, that waits till the last minute and then realizes right before season starts that your bow needs a new string and your pro shop is, you know, a month behind. So
yeah,
this is a great time to go through everything, especially your safety, you know, your tree stands, that kind of stuff. Replace those straps, replace those cables, that kind of thing. To make sure that you're safe going into this next deer season.
Yeah, nothing worse than going out and finding your deer stand. When you get up in it, you start to hear it creaking, and you realize that you should have replaced those straps the year before.
Yeah.
You don't want to make that mistake ever, for sure.
No.
Man, you might have put a little weight on from last year.
Yeah, for sure. Haven't we all? Brian Grossman, tell people where they can go read your article and find out more information about the National Deer Association.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find our website at deerassociation.com. We have just hundreds of articles on there covering various topics from hunting to land management, deer management, all that kind of stuff. A lot of great information. And, of course, we are a nonprofit organization, a membership organization, and we would love to have your listeners come and join us as a member and help us ensure the future of wild deer, wildlife habitat, and hunting.
That's great. Brian Grossman, thank you so much for your time and taking our call. DeerAssociation.com again, and the article is Off-Season Tasks for the Deer Hunters. The other thing that was on the list of things was, you know, while you're out doing all these things in the woods, you can be shed hunting as well. So, you know, there's another bonus there. Hopefully you come home with something for your mantle. Brian Grossman, thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yep. Take care. Yeah. Well, speaking of shed hunting, I got to find a big rack somewhere, so I might as well find one that's been shed. You know what I'm saying? Don't say anything. I know what you're thinking, Bo.
I didn't say it. Okay. We got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Carl Middleman, our producer extraordinaire, bringing us the music here. Is that Sean Connery?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
James Bond.
Wow.
He challenged me to guess.
You nailed it.
Irish girl.
You can hear it.
Sean Connery. From Disney's Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Yes, I knew that sounded familiar. That is fantastic. Of course, we're talking about St. Patrick's Day coming up. Of course, the annual Ancient Order of Hibernians St. Patrick's Day Parade, Monday the 17th. So you got to get you that on your schedule and get ready to go. We got Michael Quinn with us right now, president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians for St. Louis County. He's on the board there. Michael, welcome in.
How you doing, guys?
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, yes, sir.
I love it. This is prime season for you guys, huh? Getting ready for this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we kind of started over the last week. But, yeah, about the next 14 days in a row, counting back about a week, it's pretty crazy.
Lots of Irish stuff going on.
And it's Irish Heritage Month all through March. So that's another thing that we started. So.
You know, the parade in Dogtown is second to none. I grew up in Minnesota, lived in Wyoming and Arizona, but man, when I came here, I found out parades are like a professional sport here in St. Louis. And
even rode
in the St. Louis Carriage Company's horse-drawn carriage. They painted the horses green one year that I got to ride in that carriage. Down at Dogtown is a different story, Michael. Tell us why there's such a big difference.
Well, the parade in Dogtown, which is the Ancient Order of Hibernians annual St. Patrick's Day parade, was started as a family event, and everybody was invited, and everybody brought their kids and lawn chairs, and it was a much tighter event you know, people were, everybody met everybody. It was a family thing. And we've tried to keep that motivation going, but it's grown tremendously over the years, and it's humongously popular. And, you know, we try to cater to all our vendors and the public and dignitaries. And boy, we got requests from everybody all over the place to be in it.
First class all the way.
Yes, it's top notch. So
yeah, it's excellent. So what you're telling me is that this year when I want to come down there, you're going to have a private parking space for me somewhere, because that's always a little bit of a nightmare in Dogtown, right?
I can certainly do that. In fact, we could use an announcer at the bottom of the hill this year. But yeah, sure.
You guys
are interested. We'll put you on a float if you want.
I would love to do that. Unfortunately, it's my daughter's spring break that week, and I'm not going to be in town. All right. I've been there so many times, Michael, over the years, and always had a great time. You know, I wanted to mention to you, everybody looks forward to this every year, and a good friend of mine, Michael McDonough, is with the Irish Heirs. And it's my understanding that they're going to be playing their final gig this year at the parade,
after
the parade. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He's our grand marshal for the year for this year. So he's going to be, I think they are going to be playing on the float that he's on. But I don't swear to that. I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing that.
That's pretty awesome. Apparently. Well, it's a great treat for anybody who's going to be down there. If you have an opportunity to either see the float or hear their performance afterwards there, I believe in the they're downstairs, in the cafeteria for the church where they're serving food?
At St. James, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so it's going to be a good time.
I think
sad to see those guys go, but they've been doing great stuff for us in St. Louis as well.
Michael, please explain for those that want to participate and bring their families down and be part, to view the parade. Tell us some timing things, because this is the great outdoors portion of the show. We don't know if we're going to have snow that day. We don't have 70 degrees. We don't know. It's too far out.
Yeah,
but let's get people prepared.
Right, we've had quite the different amount of weather conditions, but check your weather reports. I would suggest getting down there between 7:30 and no later than 9:00 if you're bringing a lawn chair type thing, or you're just trying to establish territory, because it fills up fast. The route itself closes at 10:00 unless you're a dignitary or something like that, and the parade starts at 11:00. So a couple hours before is a good time to try and get your spot. If you don't, it might be tough, or you might be farther down than where you want it to be.
But yeah,
I would shoot for those time frames for sure.
Oh, I got down. I remember one of the first times I went down there, I started working at Channel 4, and somebody told me about it, and I decided to drive over there completely blind to the parking issue, right? And I end up having to park like down off Manchester Road somewhere. Like it seemed like it was a 2-mile hike up the hill, and I know it wasn't that far.
You were on the hill. You parked on the hill is what you did.
By the time I got to the top of the hill where the parade route was, I mean, people were probably 5 or 6 deep from the street. Oh, easily, right? And I learned my lesson that first year, I have to tell you.
I don't feel bad. Same thing. We all piled in a car and went down there years ago, and we're like, holy cow. So down there off of Manchester, it seems like a long walk, but it's actually a great spot to park, because it gives you time to be out of the where they're disbanding from floats, and easy walk to it. And it's downhill on the way home.
that's a good point.
Right.
After a long day of standing around.
Do they set up shuttles or anything, Michael? Is there anything like that going on?
We have golf carts for any folks that have challenges with walking, and we try to cater to that, but we don't have any official shuttles. There's a big insurance scenario with that, and we have kicked it around a little bit, but it's just so hard to get everybody to different spots specific spot, because they say, well, we can't get to that one spot, so how do we get on the shuttle? So, but we do have golf carts, and people can call us and just say, hey, this is where we're at, and come get us if you can. So
Michael Quinn is the president of the Ancient Order of the Hibernians, St. Louis County Board. Let's talk about some of the businesses that stay open and get excited about this particular day, which is Monday the 17th. What are some of the historical businesses that have been around forever? They always do, you know, get into this big time.
Well, the big one is Pat Connolly's Tavern right there at the corner of Oakland and Tam. Been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep,
so everybody likes to go in and do a little historical, maybe a pint before the parade starts kind of thing.
Or two.
And they usually have pretty good bass behind there all day long. And then if you go up the street a little bit, you've got the Stone Turtle, which is owned by Nick Funk, and the Felix's Pizza,
yum,
which is right there on the corner, right across from Stone Turtle.
Good wings,
Tam
too.
Avenue Bar and Grill. I'm sure I'm going to forget. Rico's is the barbecue place right off of Tam and Clayton, I believe. And as you go down the hill, well, down the hill is mostly is St. James the Church, which, by the way, has a huge scenario going on there in the cafeteria.
Oh,
They've
yeah.
got the Irish Hair going. They've got a Bud Light tent, I believe, is one of their big events. So please, if you get a chance, whip in there and try and support them as much as you can.
Yeah, that's great.
Because being an Irish Catholic organization, that they're kind of, we work together with them pretty regularly.
Sure. Yeah, it's there's so much to do. I hope people get out there and take advantage of it. I hope you don't have a situation like we had the other day where there's snow blowing around and the wind's gusting to 45 miles an hour.
It doesn't matter. People will still show up.
Yeah. I know they will. Just bundle up and find a lot of heavy green sweaters and coats and all that good stuff.
100%. Check the weather first, because we usually get down there about 3:30, 4 a.m. and it can be really brutal at that time to set up, because we can't set up the night before.
Well,
and by the time the parade's ready to go, some of us are just worn slick. So
that's the day that those drinking gloves are going to come in really handy, right? Early in the morning and later in the day.
Early, correct. Not during the parade. You got to make sure of that. But yes. Sometimes that turns out to be the case.
I'm sure it is. So you guys have a gun raffle fundraiser going on?
Yes, we do have a gun raffle fundraiser going. We got the idea from the firemen and some of the police departments across the country, actually, and our local firemen's guys here. We have a few guys that are in the Hibernians or firemen. And this is what they do a fundraiser. And it's two drawings a month for a whole year, and then there's one extra drawing at the end. So there's 25 drawings. Only 1,000 tickets are available, and they're $30 a piece, and that's how we did it. And it's going like gangbusters. So it's a fundraiser. It's been a little tough trying to figure out some fundraising activities ever since COVID hit.
Yeah.
Right, so, that's right.
This is a new one for us. We're giving it a shot.
How can people get their hands on the raffle tickets if they want to buy? Assume there are tickets left?
Yes, sir. There are some tickets left. Not a ton, I'll be honest with you, but they can try and catch up with anybody in a green jacket or a marshal on parade day. Or do I want to give my phone number?
I don't know if you want to give your phone number. I was hoping maybe there was a website or something, but it's basically you need to find somebody with the Ancient Order of Hibernians?
Yes, that would be good. And by the way, STLAOH.com.
STLAOH. Okay.
Yeah, and there'll be information there.
Yes. And it's a brand new website. We just finally got it going. And so it's covering a lot of ground. And we're just starting to fill in the gaps on the actual calendar of events and who to contact for what and all that. So we've got a Nemro Ball coming up May 3rd. It's a big event. So
I got some good news and some bad news. I already know who the winner is going to be, and his name is Bo Matthews, because he wins every darn raffle he puts his name in. Can I just tell you that?
Listen, I got a buddy of mine, Paul Beander, does the same thing. He, whatever he gets into, he wins. I don't even know why we even try to do it when he's around. So
I might as well not even buy a ticket to this one.
Bo and Paulie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't be discouraged. Come on now.
You're going to be disqualified from raffles before long, Bo Matthews. You know that, right?
Yeah. Attorney General's going to call me. What's going on with you, pal? No, it is a great fundraiser. We do it for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, and there's other ones. There's a fire department, Rock Township, Rock Ambulance, no, Rock Fire Department over and off of Telegraph that I bought tickets from. They do it weekly. Yeah, it's just a cool way to, you know, support the Second Amendment, get a good firearm in your hand, and give me another chance to win at something.
Yeah,
STL, right? You know,
STLAOH.com.
We'll get you on there. So no worries.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate that, brother.
That is fantastic. Well, listen, Michael, we wish you the best of luck. I'm praying for the best weather for you guys on the 17th, and that ought to be a good time as usual.
That would be awesome.
I would like to end this segment by having an Irish cheer, one of my favorite Irish toasts that I hear every year. I should have it tattooed on my butt. Here's to cheating, stealing, fighting, and drinking. If you cheat, may you cheat death. If you steal, may you steal a woman's heart. And if you fight, may you fight for a brother. And if you drink, may you drink with me. Cheers!
Nicely done, though, man.
There you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael Quinn. Best of luck with the parade on the 17th.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
We will talk to you soon. Appreciate that, Michael Quinn there. Good to get him on. It's always a great time. I was very disappointed when I looked at the date and realized I'm going to be out of town this year. That stinks, dang it, for me.
Tough stuff.
I know.
Well, hopefully, cheers to you having a green beer somewhere on that day.
or green bourbon or something, for sure. I'm sure it'll work
that
out.
That's not a thing. Is that a thing?
Well, there's a bourbon called Green River. Does that count?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, close enough, okay.
Put some bourbon in a McFlurry.
Yeah, there you go.
Or a shamrock shake.
That's the best suggestion Carl's ever made.
I have some bourbon cream in my coffee or something. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, leprechauns.
Get more at 971talk.com.